In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to cover, I hope, two chapters today of the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 3, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple. Remember, it's on Mount Zion, at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're still Jews. They're Jews. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate. So this man was crippled, and they lay him at the Beautiful Gate. What's he doing? He's begging for money so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, and so did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. He's going to receive something, all right, something bigger than what he ever thought. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. It's a miracle done in the name of Jesus. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with Peter and John, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate. Yes, this is the one we put our coins in. This is the one that was by the Beautiful Gate for years. Now he's jumping and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Ask for alms. He used to be the man asked for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What had happened to him? He was completely healed. How? We're going to find out now. And while he clung to Peter and John, that's interesting. He thinks that the power to heal comes from Peter and John, so he clung to them. I remember praying with a young girl who had cancer, and we prayed, and the cancer left. The next week, she wanted to sit next to me as if it had happened through me, that I had the answer of cancer. No, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. All the people ran together and to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as if though by some power or piety of our own have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus," hallelujah, how? In the resurrection, "whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him, but you rejected the Holy One and the Righteous One, and asked to have a murderer given to you instead of him. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." Witness of what? of the resurrection, that Christ has been raised from the dead. It is through his name, the name of Jesus, that this man that was sick now jumps and leaps and praises God. And by faith in that name, his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. It's in the name of Jesus. We always pray in the name of Jesus by the power of his death and resurrection. Oh, yes. God wants these things to be happening today, because he said, you shall do the same things that I did, and even greater still. Amazing. God wants this because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I don't think we believe that. I don't think we believe that because we don't see what God is doing through the miraculous. And yet God wants to do the miraculous. But it's up to us to take faith in the name of Jesus. And now, friends, I know that you acted out of ignorance, as did also your rulers, in the way God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God. Yes, Isaiah 53, like a lamb led to the slaughterhouse, he opened not his mouth. Yes, this was all prophesied by the beautiful Isaiah. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. Lord, we need times of refreshing. We are living in a crazy world. We are living in a world that's called right wrong and wrong right. We are living in a world that's upside down. We need times of refreshing through the Holy Spirit. We need that, O God. We need your presence to come, because without your presence, there is no time of refreshing. So that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, so that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of the universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you from your own people a prophet like me. You must listen to whatever he tells you, and it will be that everyone who does not listen to the prophet will be utterly rooted out of the people. And all the prophets, as many as had spoken from Samuel and those after him, also predicted these days. You are descendants of the prophets. Yes, but you got to have faith. They might be blood descendants of the prophets, but you know what? You've got to have faith. Someone said, my uncle was a bishop. Well, that's wonderful. He knew Jesus, but what about you? You can't hold on to your uncle's coattails. You need Jesus for yourself. You need to give him your life. You need to call upon his name. You know, it's not your uncle that's going to save you. Oh, no. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I am saved because he went to the cross, that he took my place there, that he washed me clean in baptism, and I'm living out my baptismal life. You are the descendants of the prophets and of the covenant that God gave to our ancestors, saying to Abraham, and all your descendants, all families of the earth shall be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. But what did they do? They had the Romans take Jesus to be crucified. Oh, yes. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So they put them in jail. Put them in jail for healing this man through the name of Jesus. That's kind of foolish. That's kind of foolish. It's evil. They put him in jail. But many of those heard the word of God and believed. It numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to you and all of you and to all the people who belong to Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." Done in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sickness has got to flee. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan has got to flee. Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by the builders, the Jewish people. It has become the cornerstone. It's really keystone. The keystone was in a not a building, but a round thing that you walk through, and it held all the stones together. It held all the stones together, the keystone, in an arch. There is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we are to be saved. Not the name of Buddha. On his deathbed he said, "I still seek the truth." On the night before he died, Jesus said, "I am the truth." Oh yes, this man was healed by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated an ordinary man. Well, they might be uneducated, but they were not ordinary men, I'll tell you that much. They were men filled with the Holy Spirit, and they recognized them as companions of Jesus. I wonder how many people have recognized us, you and me, as companions of Jesus. What does companion mean? To eat bread with, that we dine with Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. The man is jumping and leaping and praising God. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more in that name. So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. How foolish. They cannot but speak in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. And that's going to get them in trouble. And they're going to rejoice for the trouble. Let's continue. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot keep with the church and me. We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. In other words, we need to keep on speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep on speaking in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because there is salvation and no other name but the name of Jesus. After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all of them praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. That means old in the days of Jesus. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Do not preach or teach in the name of this man, Jesus, again. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit, through your ancestor David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah, Jesus Christ. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Jesus did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He worked by revelation. He never spoke or did a work that wasn't from God. Oh, yes. Would that we would be the same. Would that we would be the same. So many times we said, you know, we want to increase our offertory money. So we went to a person who was going to teach you how to do that. Rather than doing what God says, if you tithe your money and your offerings, I will open the windows of heaven. We didn't do what God wanted him to do. Tithe our money. Oh, yes, at St. John's in Quincy, people tithe their money and the priests of the parish tithe the offertory to the poor. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's God's way. It's the way of faith. It's not the way of the world. The world will say, let's use this man or woman to increase our finances. God says, tithe your money. Tithe your money and see what happens. Tithe your money and see what happens. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness. And while you stretch out your hand to heal with signs and wonders that are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. We should pray this prayer, starting with 4, chapter 30, verse. while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. I wonder how many people who preach the word of God are bold. I wonder. St. Augustine says we are fed on two tables, the table of the word and the table of the Eucharist. The letter that was made by the congregation of the bishops about the word of God, it said that the primary vocation of the bishop and the priests were to preach the word of God, then to celebrate the Eucharist. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed anything for their own possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave the testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as sold lands or houses, they brought them, and the proceeds of what was sold, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each one according to their need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Are you a son of encouragement? Are you a daughter of encouragement? Or are you one who says, oh, we've been persecuted. Oh, poor us. No. When they were persecuted, they said, Sovereign Lord, let there be miracles and wonders done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be good things happen because of our persecution. Oh, yes. And the place shook with the power of God. They had Pentecost again. Oh, yes. How we need to have Pentecost. How we need to know the power of God. How we need to know that in the name of Jesus, everything and anything can happen. How we need to know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only is that on a bumper sticker, it's true. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because He is the same, things should be happening, like the man that was crippled, who was healed. I love what Peter and John said, silver and gold we have none, but what we give you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. They knew the power of God. They had nothing to put in His cup, but they had the ability, by the grace of God and the name of Jesus, to raise this man up who started jumping and leaping and praising God. How we need men and women who know the power of God, that when we're persecuted, we don't cry because we were No, then we go and say, Lord, You promised that there would be signs, wonders, and power in the name of Your servant Jesus. Oh, Lord, look upon their threats and give us the ability to do the signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus. Give us the ability that we would be bold in our preaching, loving but bold. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he pitched his tent among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the holy name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say to the sick, be healed by the power of the cross and resurrection. I say to the sick, no more sickness. Be completely and totally healed in the name of Jesus Christ, the servant of God. Jesus Christ, the Messiah of God. Be healed today and check it out with the doctor. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.